Okay, maybe this is Fear and Now. Don't be scared. That is sound from an old horror film. And the reason we're playing it is because there's a project underway at Yale University to collect films just like that one, horror films that were released on VHS tapes back in the late 70s and early 80s, films with titles like Toxic Zombies, Maniac, Buried Alive. The Yale archive so far includes about 2,700 tapes. And joining us from New Haven to talk about it are the people behind it, Aaron Pratt, a PhD student, and David Gary, Yale's Kaplanoff Librarian for American History. Guys, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Aaron, I want to start with you. This was your idea. Why did you want to create a VHS archive?
I invited Dave to my weekly movie night a while back that I've been doing for the last couple of years here in New Haven. And we got to talking about why it is that academic libraries aren't collecting this kind of material. And Dave, who is in a position to collect material, we got to talking about how we could actually make this possible. And through his efforts, we've been able to make it happen.
But is it about what's on the VHS tapes or is it about the VHS tapes themselves?
Well, it's a combination of the two, I think. On the one hand, VHS was a technology that made it possible for a lot of movies to get made that wouldn't have been made otherwise. But also, VHS was, of course, the way that many of the movies that we now think of as classics of horror or classics of any other genre were not first made possible, but the ways in which they circulated and were made popular among home video audiences.
When you're talking about early VHS from 1978 to 1985, we're talking about movies costing $80 to $90 when those VHS tapes first came out. So it was very difficult for average people to just go out in the street and buy a VHS. So it created this whole video store culture, and there was a huge demand for this. This is the first time that you could actually watch movies in the home. So this drove all sorts of distributors and producers to reach deep into their vaults and pull out old titles. It allowed the cheap technology of camcorders allowed people to shoot movies on video. And it allowed there was a large space because of this huge demand, this voracious demand for video at this time.
And Aaron, why did you decide to focus on horror movies?
Well, a couple of reasons. I mean, one of the kinds of films that have traditionally had difficult accessing traditional exhibition venues like the movie theaters are genre movies, right? On the one hand, they were cheap to make, and so they could often fill a theater or at least fill the sort of gap spaces in a theatrical exhibition run. But horror was one of the genres, along with action and, of course, something like pornography, were some of the first types of movies to really take the advantage of the affordances of VHS, right? If you could make a movie without ever having to plan to do a theatrical distribution, which would involve doing, printing large numbers of 35mm prints, having a marketing campaign that would target the radio or the TV, without all of that, it would be much easier to get a movie into the hands of the consumer. And it seems as though horror movies and action movies were some of the first to really take that up. And so for the purpose of this collection, where it's, it would be impossible to collect all of VHS, as anybody who ever went into a video store knows, everything was released on VHS. Yeah. And horror, both because of its sort of specific relationship to VHS, but also the practical difficulty of collecting everything, we decided to narrow it down to horror.
Well, let's listen to one of the films that you have in your collection. This is called Class of 1984.
Surveillance is the name of the game around here, Mr. Norris. You wouldn't believe the things they do to this building whenever we aren't watching. Paint on the walls. They steal anything that isn't bolted down. Never leave your classroom unlocked, Mr. Norris, not even for a minute.
Yes, sir.
There, come here. Two of them smoking marijuana. Security?
Yes.
Two dope smokers and one West.
On my way.
So, Aaron, what was it about this one that was necessary for the collection?
Well, it's a movie that, it had a theatrical release, a small theatrical release. But it has attained a cult status now as this, sort of Reagan-era document of delinquent culture and, the sort of the drug culture, the sort of youth gone wild culture that was really driving a lot of the kind of 80s anxieties. And of course, like I said, it had a theatrical release, but it was only really once Vestron Video, one of these major VHS distributors, put it out in 1984, 85, that it was able to achieve the cult status because it became a video store staple that, a teenage boy could rent and bring to his sleepover in the evening. And it's through that VHS context that it really was able to achieve a cult status. It wouldn't have been able to have that kind of longevity without the distribution that VHS made possible.
David Gary, how difficult was it to convince the library administration to take on this VHS collection?
Not terribly difficult. So when I do collecting, I have to make sure that I can prove that there's going to be an interest in this material, that there's an academic audience for it. But then I had to make sure that I convinced the preservation people that, you know, this is coming. We're going to work on making sure we get the resources to get this preserved. And then the other problem, which I'm sure you can imagine, is access, which would be getting a number of VCRs and stations put together. So what we're doing with this collection is making it archival in nature. So it's going to be a special collections archive. So all of this material is going to be stored in an offsite storage area called the Library Shelving Facility, which has proper environmental controls, and it will be brought in for researchers in an archival situation.
Well, how do you make the case, though, that it is academically important?
Oh, hugely important. So, you know, so Aaron and I are both historians of the book. That's how we met originally. So we care about the book as a physical object through time. And we can easily make the argument that VHS is just another extension of that. So what we really care about with this collection is looking at VHS as a material object, as a piece of material culture. So there are lots of things that are sort of connected to it that I think a lot of people can use. So when you have a book, you talk about the table of contents, the acknowledgement page, the preface. This sort of leads you into the text and helps you interpret it and understand it. The same sort of thing is going on here with VHS. You have trailers and previews, you have labels, you have blurbs, and you have this really excellent box art. All of these things sort of help you think about the movie, interpret the movie, and get into the movie. And it helps you really understand the reception of the movie. So there's all sorts of interest in just the material aspect of this format, not just the content of the movies. But I can imagine all sorts of people using this collection. So, you know, I had a question this semester, a student writing about the history of fires in the Bronx in the 1970s, who wanted to see film representation of the Bronx as a wasteland in the 1970s and the 1980s. He could easily go to this collection and pull out movies and take a look at various films. I've had people contact me since this story came out. There's an art photographer who uses horror film themes throughout his art who wants to come and take a look at the boxes. You know, right now, film studies, I think in general, you could say that they're really interested in looking at the original 35mm film, but we're starting to see a whole batch of scholarship that's coming out now that's focusing on video and the problems of video and the sort of everyday nature of video. And I think that scholarship is only going to be growing into the future.
But there are going to be some people who are listening to this, and I'll go back to you, Aaron, who say, wow, I can't believe that people at Yale, of all places, are focusing on something like this. It seems frivolous to some people.
Well, I mean, one of the reasons I came to Yale as a PhD student is because of the way that its library has been able to collect and preserve the cultural heritage of, you know, many cultures. I happen to study Shakespeare in the 16th and 17th centuries primarily. And, you know, Yale has shown a strong commitment to preserving that kind of material. And it's a place like Yale, I think, that's especially in a position to really be able to collect this kind of stuff and to really be able to blaze the trails, as it were.
But are you comparing class of 1984 to Shakespeare?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of debate about, you know, to what exactly was the role of early modern theater, you know, for example. And so the question is, you know, what do we do with popular entertainment? And one of the challenges for the work that I do when I look into the 16th and 17th centuries is so much of that material has been lost because, you know, in some cases, people didn't preserve it in the time. And right now, as we're sitting sort of just on the other side of VHS's sort of initial lifespan, right? I mean, the last commercial VHS tapes sort of released by the studios were coming out 2003, 2004. And so we're in a position right now where there's this kind of gap where nobody's interested in it yet, but we're right on the edge of it being potentially thrown away. There's a group out of Canada that's been working on thinking about how to recycle, you know, the unused VHS tapes. And I think it's a place, we're at a time right now where Yale could really come in and is coming in and trying to preserve this aspect of a sort of popular, as it were, sort of entertainment culture.
And at this point in 2015, is the quality still pretty good of that tape, or has it already deteriorated in some cases?
Well, I mean, one of the things that I would say first off is many, many of these tapes are in very, very good condition. I mean, I collect VHS myself, and I have tapes from, you know, 1978, 1979, the very early 80s that play as well as they did in 1980. Of course, you know, most of these movies, as I think Dave mentioned earlier, weren't really sold directly to consumers, and so they spent a lot of their life as in heavy retail context. And even those tapes are in pretty good condition.
I remember seeing, I'm sure on VHS, Poltergeist, and I must have been like 8 years old. It scared the hell out of me. But
well, and that's the thing, you know, because it's a lot of those times, you know, kids would be able to watch things that their parents would have never taken them to the theater to see.
Right.
But either because they were on cable or there was a tape kicking around the house, so many young lives were sort of maybe damaged or enriched, depending on how you want to see it, based on the kind of things that they were able to see in the home.
That's Aaron Pratt, a PhD student at Yale University, and David Gary, the Kaplanoff Librarian for American History there, talking with us about their new VHS archive. We've got more information. Maybe you've got some tapes to send them. Go to hearandnow.org. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.